That's a lot of pressure, though, as a hairstylist sometimes.
Unless you've been doing their hair for 7 years.
Yeah.
Really? I mean, seriously, you just be giving her a mullet.
But I said yes. Crazy. We always have to keep passion for what we do in some way, shape, or form.
Yo.
What's up, man?
What's happening, dude?
Chilling.
All right. Episode 25.
Quarter century.
Quarter century. That was the first thought I had, was quarter century. But it's a quarter. I don't know. 25. It's a milestone, though.
It is.
I mean, it's a big thing. We've been recording for a year and a half now, almost exactly, because we started in May of 2020, and now it's November.
Yeah.
So, and we've done 25 episodes, which would be basically, you know, I don't know, once every 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Average.
Or more than one a month. If our like recording count stays above the months that we've been doing it,
yeah,
then we're doing okay.
Totally, man. So, man, it's good to be back. It's November now. The freaking seasons are changing. It's wild. I wish somebody like a happy Thanksgiving today on her way out the door. Your client was like, "Oh, have a happy Thanksgiving." She goes, "Damn it, I can't believe that."
Yeah, that's weird. I haven't done that yet.
Yeah, it is. Well, I knew I wouldn't see her for a while, so I was
Well, that's the thing, yeah. Because I had a guy come in today, and he was talking about how this haircut has to get him through the holidays.
Yeah.
You know, so he was like,
That dude doesn't like to get a lot of haircuts.
Yeah, he's like, take it, because he's like, I'm not going to get in until January, and I know it.
Dude, I got to be honest about my hair. I've cut my own hair the last two times.
Have you?
Yeah, and it's because I don't have any patience. Like, and I just don't want to deal with it. So I took an 8 guard on my clippers and I cut the top with the 8 guard. And then I did a 5 guard around the corner. And then I blended that down to a 3. And then just like taper faded my sideburns, basically. And then I asked one of the girls, like, "Hey, will you trim my neckline?" And then I texturize it with my shears. And I'm telling you, this whole thing took place over the course of 6 minutes.
I was just going to say.
Yeah.
I was going to say, did this lack of patience save you any time? But
it massive amounts of time and energy. And like, normally you cut my hair and I love it. But like, man, I'm not going to lie. Knowing that I can just kind of rip that out, it's kind of nice.
Yeah, the and impulsive
like,
cut.
Yeah, and I think we talked about, like, I feel like I've had every haircut out there. I've literally had them all.
For sure.
And at this point now, it's like, I'm going into what would be like cycle 2 or 3 of some of the trends in my life, because I'm 44. And it's like, I don't actually want any of those on myself. Like, I want something that's just kind of like easy to maintain that doesn't fall into any particular trend. I don't know.
Right.
I mean,
user friendly.
Yeah, totally. Like, just give me some like messy chopped up top, basically haircut. That's, you know, it just, I don't know. It works for me.
I mean, honestly, like something that I always want for my haircut is like, what's not cool right now?
Yeah. You know,
give me that.
Dude, we're totally the same in that. I do not want everybody's haircut.
Yeah.
At all whatsoever.
No way.
Like, you know, I had the hard part, and then when everybody wanted the hard part, I was like, that's the last haircut I want.
What's
you know?
The opposite of trendy?
Yeah.
Give me it.
Yeah. I don't know. I think there's a reason why we both became hairstylists. We want to be trendy. We want to be stylish, like all that kind of thing, man. Like, there's nothing worse to me than like having the same thing as everybody.
Yeah. Same. I mean, even for me, like, I think as a kid, like, my whole life, but I was conscious of it as a kid. Like, what I really wanted was just to not look like everybody else.
Totally.
It's not because I wanted attention or I wanted to be cool. I just was like, I identify as different from the masses.
Totally.
So I just want something different, which probably on some level did push me into being a stylist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But before we go too far, too, happy birthday. You just had a birthday.
Thank you.
And when you said I'm 44, I had just had this triggered this memory of us doing a podcast in my apartment back in the day. And we were talking about how 44 was such a cool number. And I said your nickname was going to have to be Sailboat. Sailboats for the year.
Sailboats, yeah.
So this is it.
So if anybody, I'm sure everybody's wondering what the F that means. But Sailboats, like when you're playing poker and you've got a hand, like a two-card hand, like that you're holding in No Limit Poker or any kind of like hold'em poker. If you have 2 fours, it's called sailboats because they just look like sailboats.
Totally. But
it's such a dope hand, I think. I love it.
And it's a dope handle.
Yeah. Yeah. So sailboats. Yeah.
Sailboats for only for the next year.
Yeah. That's all I get, man. 45 is not a great number anyway, too, because, I mean, it has like connotations to an ex-president and things like that.
I think when you're 45, your nickname should be Colt.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Anything but, you know, whatever. Yeah. But thanks, man. I appreciate it. It was fun. Yeah. We had a good birthday. My wife has the birthday the day before me. So, you know, before we met, like I never, ever took my birthday off work. And that was like a thing to me. Like, I was like, I'm never taking my birthday off work. You know, it was like kind of self-deprecating type of like tough guy attitude, you know? And then I met Jocelyn and like, then it became like this week-long celebration of birthdays. And now I always take it off and I'm like, I've gotten really soft.
You've gotten super soft. I mean, I think, I don't know if I would love or hate like my partner having a birthday that close. Well, they could just make it like a big honking celebration, which could be very cool.
It is really cool. Honestly, it's the coolest thing ever. Like, I love it. I mean, we had a great week. We went to Dollywood last week, which is so fun. Rode roller coasters. We had like three different birthday dinners and we had a blast. And, so it's super awesome. I love it. You know, if I could change anything about it, I would have mine first and hers the day after me, because there's a big advantage to like, she's got a day to go back out and buy presents or return them based on what I just gave her.
Right. Set the bar. Yeah. So, yeah. You're setting the bar.
Yeah, exactly. So like, but it doesn't matter for her because she always does it right.
I was going
to
say she's probably a way better gift giver than you anyway.
She's way better. You know me. Like, dude, Jocelyn will get me something that was $7, but I said I wanted it 2 years ago at a gas station. And she's like, remembered that. And
yeah. Then she which got is it what makes me. It special.
Man, she's so good at it. She really is. She's so good. She got me, she got me the same thing I got you for your housewarming present. She got me a bottle of El Dorado rum and, No, she didn't. She tried to get me a bottle of El Dorado and they didn't have it at the store. So she got me a different bottle of rum and then she got me those glasses. You can see them up there. Those like,
Those are dope.
Rocks glasses.
Yeah, like they're old like school, crystal.
Yeah, old school crystal rocks glasses. And
and the ice bowl.
Well, that's something else. That was actually a wedding present from somebody. And we were both like, what do we do with a piece of, like a crystal bowl?
Yeah.
Like, because nobody does crystal anymore. It's like, I don't know. It's cool.
Be a kick-ass dog dish. It's a little too fancy, but I mean,
it's a little too big for Nina. Yeah,
if you want to be bougie.
So anyway, but she got me that rum, that bamboo.
Yeah, dude, bamboo.
Yeah,
is good. It's and good. I'm gonna have to do a side by side because I got a bottle of bamboo.
Mm-hmm. Did you get the black bottle of bamboo?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Me too.
So, and I did a little research because I think I've told you, and this apologize everybody, rabbit hole. But Rick Ross is one of the only celebrities that I follow on Instagram. I've just always loved Rick Ross. I mean, dude just fascinates me. And he's a boss, dude. I mean, he's a major boss, but he's a majority owner of Bumbu.
Oh, he is? I thought it was just Lil Wayne.
No, Rick Ross is the majority owner of Bumbu. Mm-hmm. And Bumbu is a rum that comes in a clear bottle that still has the bones and the X on the front. Mm-hmm. So it turned out to be like... turned into one of Lil Wayne's favorite rums. Mm-hmm. So Lil Wayne like made a joke to Rick Ross about how like, when I die, I want you to like change this bottle to a black bottle and it'd be like the Lil Wayne funeral edition. And Rick Ross is like, shit, let's just do it now. So the Bumbu XO comes in the black bottle and it's the same Bumbu. It's just in a murdered out bottle for Lil Wayne.
That's awesome.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
But I want to do a side by side with the El Dorado because I took a little snip off of it after you gave it to me. That shit is delicious. So thank
you. Really good. It is. Yeah, you know, there's a rum bar here in town called Storm, and that's where I got hooked on it, and it's great. It's really good. So anyway, what are you drinking tonight, man?
Well, I mean, right now I'm sipping on this IPA I brought over, but I feel like I really want to talk about the other one, so I might wait. If you're cool with that, no, I'm going to let you talk about this one.
Yeah, that's fine.
Because this other one I bought, it's an Oktoberfest from Highwire. called Zirkus Fest, which everything they do is kind of has this circus theme. So this is Zirkus with a Z. Yeah. Not sure of the symbolism of the Z. I'm sure it means something. But it has this really foxy bearded lady on the front of it. And I was just digging the whole vibe. And even though it's not October anymore, I do like Oktoberfest beer. So I was like, haven't had this, better buy it.
Right on.
And I'll let you know in a minute because I'm about to open it, but it says it's malty and crisp.
I believe it.
Which sounds nice.
Yeah. So, well, you brought both the beers, but I'll talk about the other one, which is a new Belgian beer. It's Future Hop IPA. And it kind of looks like, I don't know, some sort of DJ skeleton guy from the future on it. And it's a Voodoo Ranger series beer. So, I don't know if everybody's familiar with that series, but they do a lot of different, IPAs, and this guy's a, an Imperial. It's like an 8% or so. It's a really cool can though.
Yeah. The color combo is brilliant. And I like his gloves.
Yeah. It's cool.
Those are cool gloves.
So yeah. Thanks for getting that.
Yeah. Of course, man.
Jordan brought the beer tonight and, I provided the beef stew.
Which was incredible.
Yeah, it was good. Thanks, Jocelyn, for making that beef stew for us. So anyway, man, welcome back. It's now November, and we haven't recorded in a minute, but that's okay. That's kind of like our new style. So, but I don't know. What I like about that is, like, when we do get back together, we have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, so, I am feeling ready.
Yeah. It's great. So I really want to jump into something that happened to me, and because it's really fresh. Last night, about 4:45 in the morning, almost exactly, I think it was 4:46 is the time I saw on the clock, I woke up like in the middle of the night and almost jumped out of bed and came downstairs and drank a cup of water or a glass of water. And the problem was, is I woke up from a nightmare. I mean, a legit nightmare where I was having this dream about my day to day at work. So I have this client and she's great. She's super nice, but her hair is so difficult and so time consuming and like so much work. And I was double booked with her with another client that's the same way. And like, I didn't have my assistant that I normally work with today. So we had this other girl who's great. I mean, she's great, but we just don't have a rhythm.
Yeah. The rapport is not there.
Yeah. So anyway, I had this crazy dream about it that like the first girl shows up 30 minutes late and then she comes in with her new baby. And so she's like, she's totally not paying attention to hair. She's not like, she doesn't have the sense of urgency that I do. The other problem is like there was a wedding party in the salon and they had taken over my station and then I kicked them out, but then I had to clean my station. And then I was 30 minutes behind. And then all of a sudden my next client showed up. And I remember like our boss, like one of our bosses, Christine, like walked up and I started cussing, which is like,
right, which you wouldn't do.
I would never do. Yeah. I would never do that. But like, I remember all these different things happening. And then I was like, and I just woke up, you know, and I was like, my God, man, that's crazy.
I mean, that is a nightmare though. It's a worst case scenario. Like, especially when you throw the wedding party in there.
Dude, I'm telling you, that always throws it off in the salon. It was so vivid, though. And the crazy thing is, I don't really dream that much, man. I just don't. Like, something about my sleep patterns. Like, I don't dream that much. And when I do dream, I generally dream in black and white. And
so this felt super lucid.
This was very lucid. It was kind of crazy, too. And I'd actually told the assistants a couple of days ago, like, I might need some extra help Thursday morning because of like this situation.
Right. So it was on your brain. Subconscious was working.
It's so crazy how that is. Like one of the other stylists at our salon came up to me a couple of days ago and it's like, I'm so stressed about my book on Saturday, blah, blah, blah. Man, we get ourselves worked up about this.
We do.
Do you get that? I mean, do you look at a day like a week from now and go, oh damn, man, that's going to be a doozy.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I mean, because I'm always trying to look ahead to see if I can just button up any details, you know, like move this person 15 minutes, you know, whatever it may be to make sure the day flows. And there are absolutely those days where you're just like, oh, that's going to suck. Like that day is going to blow. But I remember when we were talking about like firing clients, you know, several podcasts ago, it was like, if you look at your book and you see somebody and it's just like ruins your day because they're coming a week and a half from now, it's like, might not be the right fit. But even beyond that, there are just times where I look at it, like I had a day, it was Tuesday this week, where I hadn't looked at my schedule ahead of time. And I got in that morning and I looked at it and I was like, this doesn't work.
Yeah.
This doesn't make any sense. I mean, at one point I had three clients at once and I was like, this just doesn't make sense. So yeah, it gives you that little bit of anxiety, but you just got to power through it, man. That's what we do as stylists is figure shit out.
You know, the one, the motto that I have is like, it always works out. It always does.
It does. It always does.
And one of our stylists came up to me the other day and she was very stressed out about some, you know, some scheduling stuff that she had. And I told her, I was like, you know, like none of us have died from these stressful scheduling issues thus far. And nobody I know has, and nobody's actually been hurt. And like, you know, the thing is, it's going to work out. We always pull through it. It's literally just hair. Like, that's it. It's just hair. So we're going to power through. But man, that freaking dream was crazy. I couldn't believe it. But yeah, today was actually, it was a bit intense for a while, but it was a good day.
Right. But there was no wedding party that showed up during this in real life, God. Right? And
my boss didn't show up. I didn't cuss at anybody. It was great.
It all worked out.
Yeah, it all worked out.
Sailboats headed towards the sunset. Yeah, buddy. You're set.
So,
calm seas.
Yeah. So, you know, the one thing I wanted to talk about, I went to the local cosmetology school yesterday, and I was talking to the three ladies that are all teachers there. They're all instructors at the school. I was talking to them before I, like, had the class come in, and we all talked, and I was talking to them. Actually, four students that are all about to graduate came into the room first. So it's me, the three instructors, and the four people that are graduating within a month. And for some reason, one of the instructors brought up how low the percentages of people that go to hair school actually like end up working their entire career in hair.
Yeah.
And I asked her, I was like, well, what's your percentage? Like, cause the only one she knows of is the one at her school. And, but then we got on to looking up like she found a national average, and it was 20% of people that get a license. They literally get a license.
Yeah. Do that hair. Doesn't surprise me. I was going to say, like, as far as school, I'd be surprised if there's a 20%
rate. No, there's like a 60% dropout rate at their school. Like more than half dropout.
Yeah, it's because my school is like that. I think I started with like 20 kids and four or six of us got our 1,500 hours.
Yeah, that's crazy. You know?
But yeah, no, and I mean, I know so many people that have did hair for under 3 years or done.
Yeah. I mean, I know a ton. Yeah. I mean, if I look back at that first couple of years that I was like assisting and first on the floor, like how many assistants came through that salon? Because that first salon I was at was like, I mean, we were rocking 10 to 15 assistants at a time.
That's crazy.
An amazing amount just like rolled right through and then they were done.
Right.
Went on to something else.
Back out.
Yeah. And it's kind of amazing to me. And it's like, I mean, it's kind of a testament to us, the people that do
the survivors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of funny because like, I've always used this like terminology, like I'll say, well, you know, people go to school cause they want to play with hair and then they wind up like realizing they actually have to work.
Yeah. They have to work and they have to, it's customer service.
Oh yeah. It's a job. It's a real legit job and it's work and man, like, you know, we've talked about it so many times. You got to be passionate about hair, but you also got to be passionate about people, you know, and you got to be a hard worker.
Yeah. I think the people piece is the most important part.
Yeah.
You know, because you can be passionate for hair, especially when I was on the educator side and you get to those like high level educators that are obsessed with hair and fashion and they love hair so much. It's like, sometimes they almost hate people. It's like, wow, how did you get to this point? You know, like, but they're that passionate about hair.
Yeah.
Cause to me, the human component is more than 50% of it for me.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely feel like you can be a very successful hairdresser if you're really good with people and very mediocre at doing hair.
Yeah, you can be absolutely very,
like a, easily a six-figure hairstylist. Yeah. All you got to do is be good with people, you know, and actually enjoy people.
Well, I was talking to my client today. She has two kids, and she asked me, how's Oliver doing in school? He's in seventh grade, just turned 13. And I was like, well, he's doing great in school, but his report card isn't the greatest. And so I got into this conversation with him about how he's smart. Talk to his teachers. They're like, he's a great kid. We love him in class. Socially, he's perfect. He, you know, he listens to everybody, you know, to the teachers. He listens to instructions. They're like, but if he decides he doesn't want to do something, he just literally doesn't turn it in. And his grades reflect that, you know. So it's so I had a conversation with him. And with him being a teenager, he like automatically wanted to be like, I don't care, you know. Mm-hmm. And what I was explaining to him, though, and this is what I was telling my client, I was like, you're not in trouble. I'm not mad at you. I just want you to try hard. You're going to feel fulfilled in your life if you try hard. Mm-hmm. I was like, when I go to work, I was like, I'm not the best hairstylist in the world. I wouldn't get all straight A's, you know, I wouldn't give myself straight A's in everything I do, but I go to work and I try hard and it makes me feel good that I'm trying hard. Mm-hmm. My client was like, I'd give you all A's. And I was like, well, thank you. You know, so like, sweet. Yeah, it's so nice. But that's the thing is like, as long as you are going to work, you're doing the best that you can and you're treating people right and you care about the end result of what you're doing and you're doing your best, you can be okay at hair and be wildly successful.
Totally. Absolutely. Yeah. It's funny. I mean, God, what makes a great hairstylist? I mean, you know, it can be so different at times. We've talked about this too, like how assistants will come to work, you know, for us and they'll be amazing assistants and they're so good and they work their butts off and then they're just crappy at doing hair. They just like do the worst hair ever, you know, and then they hide in the assistant role, you know, because it's safe.
Right. Or they find too much comfort there.
Yeah, totally. And then you get those assistants that come on and my God, they're awful. They don't want to do anything. They've got an attitude about it. And like, you really can't stand them as an assistant. But then all of a sudden they do hair. And you're like, oh my God, they can really do hair.
Right. And they could rock it behind the chair with the clients and all the stuff.
And once you put them on the floor, you're like, man, that is like one of the best employees I've got. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like crazy. I mean, it's really funny. But I mean, you know, people didn't go to hair school to be an assistant. You know,
they didn't. I actually remember years ago when I was working with Amy Grooms. Shout out, Amy.
Yeah.
I remember there was an apprentice that was struggling because she was like feeling like she was stuck in a rut. And I remember like observing the conversation that they were having, and Amy was like a master stylist, and she said something that's always stuck with me, and she said it to the apprentice. She goes, maybe you're too good of an assistant. Like, you're such a good assistant that everyone wants you to continue helping them than to be behind the chair, and maybe you're such a good assistant that like you found this level of success what you're doing and you're scared that you're not going to be as successful as a stylist. Mm-hmm. But you just got to put yourself out there.
Yeah.
And the girl didn't. She ended up being an amazing stylist.
Totally.
But it was like, there is such a thing as you can't be too good of an assistant.
No, man. It is a dark hole.
Yeah.
It can be a dark hole. And it's unfortunate, too, because it's like master stylist, man. We need assistants so badly. We really do. You know, and for the majority of assistants in the world, all they're doing is they're getting, it's the means to an end. They're just doing it so that they can, you know, learn and then grow and get on the floor and be a great stylist, you know, but,
I think of it as like residency.
Yeah.
You know, like people are going to be doctors, go through school, then they have to go into a hospital and be like, oh shit, I have to really do this. And they watch people that are good at it. And then they get thrown to the wolves and they have to do it.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, in our salon, I think the mentality is that like they are 100% necessary for us to function, but we do not want them to stay stagnant. They need to roll through the program. If they could roll through in 6 months, that would be ideal, but we don't have the amount of assistants in our town right now. Like, we don't have the graduates from school right now to be able to like keep funneling them through at a 6 month basis.
You know? And Asheville's still a small town that kind of accidentally got big.
Totally. So anyway, but I mean, I don't know, man, that was a hard time. That was the hardest year of my life, man. It really was.
Being an assistant?
Yeah, absolutely. That was, it's kind of demoralizing and it's just hard and it's like, man.
There's a massive lack of clarity when I was an assistant that was like just hung over me like a black cloud.
Really?
You know? Yeah. I was like, I was going to school during the day and then I was an assistant after school. I got out of school at like 4, but the salon closed at like 7. So I just wasn't getting much time in. And then when I had like maybe 500 hours left of school, something like that, I flipped. I became an assistant during the day. I quit my restaurant job that I was working at night and went to school at night. So the time that I was an apprentice during the day was great because I was like getting my reps in, doing blowouts, doing all stuff, cleaning tools for people, mixing color. I can only imagine how many foils I handed off in that amount of time. But when I graduated from school, it was like the owners of the salon were not clear. They were like, we have a chair here and we want it to be yours, but we need to see progress. And I was like, well, what does that look like? And they're like, you just need to get better at hair.
Yeah.
Like, well, show me a path. How do I do this? And what ended up happening is like a veteran stylist moved to town, applied there, and they gave that person the chair. And all of a sudden I'm still apprenticing and there's no chair for me to take over and no, like no horizon that there's going to be a chair. So then I finally asked the owners, like, well, what's the plan now? And they're like, well, we don't know. I was like, Jesus Christ. And that's why I ended up quitting and moving and just jumping in and doing hair. But yeah, you can get in the pits being an apprentice.
Totally. Yeah, it's tough, man. You know, I don't know. It's one of those things that I try to like put myself in their shoes a decent amount, like, and think of like what they're going through. But it also is one of those things. It's like, you gotta pay your dues. Cause you know what? Like all of us, we might be tough on them. You know, all of us bosses to assistants might be tough on them, but when they get on the floor and they're not well equipped to handle the lady in that chair that wants a service done, you know?
Yeah, they're fucked.
They're fucked.
Yeah.
And like, if we're harder on them to make sure that they produce great hair and they've learned everything they need to, they're going to be safe from that lady.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
completely.
Yeah. So it is what it is, man. I mean, it's, you know, that 20% thing. You know, 20% make it, you know, and it's hard. And so, you know, that's, you know, I think that's the whole reason why at this point, man, there's such a push in our industry for all of us to charge more money, you know, and take more control of our lives and do the services we want to do, not be forced to do the services we don't want to do, you know?
Yeah, which has been a huge change since I started doing hair.
Yeah.
I used to go to a salon and they're like, if you don't wax eyebrows, you need to learn how. I'm like, what are you talking about? I have zero interest in that. I don't even know. I know when they look bad, but I don't know how to make them look good.
Yeah.
You know, but there's been this like change in the wind where it's like, if you're awesome at something, roll with it.
That's
be the best at it and charge more than anybody else for it.
Yeah.
And if you can do that, you're going to be able to be very successful. Yeah. You'll be the 20% within the 20%, the specialized 20%.
For sure. Yeah. And you know, man, we're in a time right now we can really pick and choose what we want to do. It's kind of crazy. I mean, when I got started, you know, I had the $20 kids cut, you know, that would drive me crazy, you know.
Yeah, of course.
Kids come in and spend an hour blow drying a little girl's hair that was like down to the floor, you know, and I get a $4 tip.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was just like awful, you know, and that now that's unheard of. Like at our salon, we do not really have a kids cut price. It matches the other kind of hourly rates.
Yeah.
Basically, you know, I mean, so if we're going to do hair and it's going to be the same level, it's going to be the same price.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Are you willing to pay it or not? And it's okay that most people aren't.
So, you know, we were talking before this episode started, we were talking earlier about how the industry is changing. And it's like, It's like how there's a labor shortage in the world, and so the workers now have more rights, and they have more say, and they have more power. So the bosses and the employers are having to go, okay, we're going to change now for you guys.
Yeah, businesses have started to, like, I think especially with the shift of people working from home, too. Mm-hmm. It's like the businesses have started to lose some leverage.
100%. And, well, I mean, they're hurting to get employees now.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have an excess of employees.
Yeah, so they don't have this huge pool of qualified people to choose from.
Everybody's short staffed.
They're like, God, please help me. Somebody show up that doesn't suck.
Yeah. And it's the same thing with salons and the same thing with hairstylists. Like, our employers really are our clients. It might be your boss that owns the salon is not necessarily who pays your bills. You know what I mean?
Right.
The client that comes in is really your boss.
Yeah.
And now we've gotten to a point where stylists have more leverage. They have a little bit more power. We don't have to get pushed around as much. You know, I don't know if you remember in the break room today, I was talking about a client that called and complained that her color got stripped off.
Oh, yeah. That was
amazing. So this was interesting to me. So she called the front desk, complained that her color got stripped off by her Brazilian blowout and that her gray was showing. And the front desk was like, she wants to come in and get color to put on her own hair. I was like, they're like, which color should we mix up? I said, don't mix up any color. Let me talk to her when she comes in. So when she comes in, of course, she was on the phone guns blazing first.
No, you know? They always are.
Yeah. And then she comes in and I said, hey, what's going on? Which color faded off because of the Brazilian? She's like, oh, no. I was like, because you have a quarter inch of regrowth that's gray. That would not have, like,
it's not going to strip from there.
That wouldn't strip from a Brazilian. That's your regrowth. She's like, oh, no. No, I just wanted to buy a to-go color kit because I got to travel next week. I was like, oh, okay, that's interesting, you know, because that's not what she told the front desk.
Right, she was complaining. Pull one over on him, get a free color kit.
She was. And I'm like, you know what, that's not the way of the world anymore, man. Like, you can't do that to a business anymore because, like, the fact is, like, we don't take new clients, you and I. Like, that's not our thing anymore. Like, we have enough. Like,
well, and that's the thing. I mean, I'm going to air quote here, the customer is always right.
Yeah.
Mentality is changing when you get to the point
very much changing.
Like, we are at this, like, moment in time or level that we're working at or whatever you want to call it, where we do get to choose our clients and we get to say, no, I don't have time for that person anymore.
Well, you know, it's kind of nice too, because it's like, man, we've dealt with such horrible people in our careers. Like, people that have really, really tried to just pull one over on us because they knew the customer was always right and they could do that. There's been, you know, hundreds of clients in my lifetime that were trying to get something for free or just like, we're just like, you know, irate and unfair and just not good people.
Well,
you know?
And which is their MO of going through life.
Yeah.
This is how I get what I want.
And though, and you know, the whole Karen movement on Instagram has made it so that they're ostracized for being that way now. Like,
yeah.
That's actually like looked at as being a horrible way to be.
Yeah. You get shamed for it now. And it used to be the person that did that was like the strong one and nobody challenged them.
Yeah. No.
So I like that shift. Well, just like a couple of weeks ago, I had a client that came in. It was the second time I'd done her hair and she was unhappy with it. I'm sure you remember she was redhead, did her roots, threw some low lights in. And she said she wanted to see more dimension. Her low lights were a 4R.
So this is the one that didn't want to wear a mask, right?
Correct. Yeah. Okay. She didn't want to wear a mask. Yeah. She came in. Mary Beth told her that she needed to put a mask on. She said, that's illegal. You can't make me do that.
It's unconstitutional, actually.
Yeah. And she
it's
said,
in the Constitution.
We're a private business and we get to make any choices we want. So if you want your hair done, you're going to have to put one on. And she offered her one. She said, I'll go get my own. And she left and went to her car and got her own. So anyway, we had a consultation. And even at the end of it, I will say I was not disappointed at how her color turned out, but she was a 6RV with a 4R low light. And the dimension was not as bold as she was anticipating. In reality, the only thing I could have done is probably like a 3N
or like something. Black, like a jet black low light.
And she has, I mean, kind of like that RV, man. I just don't like that magenta red client. Like, yeah. Those are not, it's not the style of color
I
like,
you know,
to do.
I'm sorry. I'm going to go out on a ledge here and say that that's like the worst color out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is the most unnatural color that's trying to be natural.
Yeah. And it's nothing.
And it's but, usually, I feel like that is reserved for a specific type of client.
For a Karen.
Yeah, for a Karen.
Yeah.
That is the Karen color.
It really is.
Red, if, violet.
Yeah, they had the cut. Now that would be the color.
Yeah.
But instead of calling back to say that she wasn't happy with what I did, she decided to show up the next day, which is also like a Karen move, you know? And so Mary Beth is up front and I happened to walk up as she was there. And she was just saying, you know, I feel like I paid money for something that I didn't get and I'm not happy with it. And I said, I'm sorry. That's not what I'm trying to do here. If you feel like you want more dimension, Mary Beth, if you could book her for just, you know, a half an hour time slot. It's like, I could go in and put some really pronounced low lights in there, which I didn't think would look good, but if that's what she wants, I'll do it. And she said, no, I don't want you to fix it. I just want my money back. And it was one of those moments where I was like, this is not the type of client I want. And nobody wants to deal with this person. And it was the first time I'd heard of this approach that Mary Beth took. And I don't know if it's something that you guys have worked out behind the scenes or if she was shooting from the hip, but I absolutely loved it. She said, Jordan offered to volunteer his time to fix it, to give you what you want. If you're unwilling to do that, I will give you your money back, but you will never be allowed to book with him ever again in the future.
Well, book in the salon, period.
Okay, in the salon.
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah, give me my money back. And it was like, it was so good to know that that person's never going to come back.
Yeah, totally.
Because they're always going to be a headache.
Yeah.
They're never going to be happy. And the type of person that wants something for free, it's like we were talking about, just the, I guess circling back, is we don't have time for those people when we get to choose to not have them as clients anymore. Mm-hmm. And that makes me happy.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, yeah, it was an interesting approach, but it actually, I think it wound up being pretty good.
I think it was the right call.
I think it was the right call too with that lady. You know, that whole, God, we could have probably episode after episode on like, should you give money back or not? You know?
Yeah.
And it's a tough call. And I'm just don't even want to go down that road right now. Like with that, but we could do a podcast on that.
We could.
That would actually be a good podcast to do with a guest.
With a guest, for sure.
Or maybe even a couple guests, you know.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm glad the tides are turning. And, you know, I do think that people deserve to get what they want. They deserve to go into a business and pay a lot of money for a really good product. But like taking advantage of people is not a good thing at all.
Yeah.
And so like those tides have kind of started turning. And so anyway, I feel like we are more protected right now as hairstylists, like in this industry, because we're so sought after right now.
Yeah. And I think that like quarantine made everybody understand how much they rely on us.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that from a space of arrogance or anything like that, but people are like, wow, I really appreciate getting my hair done.
Yeah.
And once they can't, it's like the tone has changed a little bit.
Yeah, totally. So, something I've kind of brought this up a lot of times, man, I'm not gonna lie, but like, it kind of drives me crazy is like on Instagram and God, we could do a whole episode on Instagram, but on Instagram, how many silly videos come out with a new tip or trick that is absolute freaking nonsense?
Well, which is a complete waste of the 45 seconds before I give up on watching the rest of the video.
So
it happens daily.
I'm going to call out, I think it was Hairbrained or something that posted or reposted or Behind the Chair. I think both Hairbrained and Behind the Chair reposted that salt video.
Oh,
if you're a hairstylist and you're listening to this, you know what I'm talking about with salt. Like, so we have these bottles that we put toners in. Toner is just a color that's liquidy, you know, and it goes in the bottle and we apply it to somebody's head at the shampoo bowl in this bottle. And so when you're done with it and you bring it to the sink to rinse it out, it can be a little tricky to get the color out of the bottle, but it's not that freaking tricky. I mean, you literally fill the bottle with water and then you shake the bottle back and forth, pointing it towards the sink, and it takes the color out of the bottle. And it does a pretty darn good job.
And it takes probably 15 to 30 seconds max.
At the most.
And for anybody that doesn't do hair, we're talking about like a squeeze bottle with a screw cap nozzle tip.
Yeah.
Probably 7-8 ounce bottle.
Yeah. And so they reshared this freaking tip or trick where you take salt and you pour salt in the bottle and then put water in the bottle and then shake it up and rinse it out. And literally, I mean, there's like thousands of comments that are like, this is ridiculous waste of like salt and time. And like, it's almost kind of offensive too. Like that y'all thought that was a good like gimmick. I mean,
and well, this they thought that it was a good tip, and all it is a gimmick.
Exactly. Yeah. Very, very well put. I mean, but that's our industry, man. That is our industry. If you've ever been to a hair show, you've seen people laying on the floor with their hair spread out all over the place, with people painting the ends of their hair and saying, like, this is the new method to do it. You know? Like, there's endless amounts of BS in this business. And
mountains.
Instagram is the new hair convention.
Yeah,
it is.
Totally.
It is the everyday hair convention.
Every idiot has a voice.
Yeah.
Every idiot has a stage now.
Yeah. So, gosh, what are some of the other gimmick things that I've seen lately?
Well, also, it made me think about, there's that guy that he's gone viral on TikTok. Hmm. It's Cobby. You know who I'm talking about?
No.
The guy that does the arms. Like, are you kidding me?
No.
But anyway, he like people post a video about, like, here's a life hack on how to do something. Then he shows you the normal way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So his version for that would be like taking a bottle brush and just like, look at that. Exactly. That worked well.
Yeah.
Why isn't that the video you shared?
Totally. Like,
why aren't, you know, cause then you could brand and sell a bottle brush.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude, there are so many tips, tricks, techniques, tools, all types of things that people are sharing, selling that are just, like, just
one of my favorite classics. And this is going to be controversial. I can almost guarantee I know five people that are going to hate me for saying this, is when somebody picks up a section of hair and twists it over and over and over and then goes and like half cuts into it over and over and over to create texture. That's one that I cannot stand.
Yeah.
Like, it's the most like random, uncalculated way to texturize hair.
I mean, it will absolutely texturize hair, but is it going to texturize with any type of predictability?
And the answer is no. You don't even know which part of the hair you just texturized
because
it's twisted up so much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the kind of thing that I just can't stand, man. Like,
well, which also, that's one of those things too, where there have been times if I'm doing like a really chewy fringe and I want it to look random, sometimes after I do it, I'm like, okay, it still looks a little too quote unquote normal. And I'll like grab a piece of hair and twist it and like snap it a few times with the texturizing scissors, which haphazardly breaks it apart in a way that I don't know what the end result's going to be, but I know I want it broken more. But the thing that's funny is the client will be like, that's so cool.
Dude. Oh my God. And you're well, that's the thing.
And you're like well, I mean, is when it though?
There's a couple of hairstylists that I follow that like, I feel like every other day they're like, what is the new technique I can come up with to show everybody how awesome I am and like crazy like my ideas are? And then they put out this video where they like section out the fringe and they cut like blocks into it or something like ridiculous, like just something crazy. And then you look in the comments and it's like 25 people go, that was amazing.
Yeah.
That, you just changed my life.
Heart eye emoji.
Yeah, exactly. And then you get two people going, that's the most ridiculous crap I've ever seen.
Yeah. Thanks for wasting my time.
You just ruined your client's hair.
Yeah.
Like,
it's crazy.
It's so funny.
I think the one that I learned, my favorite, like, dumbass technique that I did for the first 2 years of doing hair was after I finished a long layered haircut, I'd love to pick it up and kind of throw it and air it out and just like open cut the scissors into the hair that was falling. I watched somebody do that at a hair show and I thought it was the coolest thing.
Yeah.
And it didn't really do anything.
Yeah.
Nothing good.
I I have to be careful with that one because my mentor did that one a lot. So I won't touch
it. Yeah, leave it alone.
I won't touch it too much, but yeah, it's a little too random for me. Like I don't know. I'm such a cynic at heart, and like I just like things that are a little bit more finite than that. Like I want to choose where I want the texture. And that one's like, oh crap, I just cut something I shouldn't have. You know what I mean? It's like there's too much left to like chance on that one, you know?
Yeah. I never screwed anybody's hair up doing it, but in hindsight, it was all smoke and mirrors.
Yeah.
It was like I didn't know what I was doing, so I wanted to do something that looked cool or like I was advanced, like, oh, look what this guy can do. Yeah. But really it was just like a mask I was wearing because I didn't know what the hell I was doing.
Yeah. You know what though? This industry is a lot of smoke and mirrors, and it's a lot of smoke and mirrors to the clients, and which works a lot of times. Like the clients, we do need to give them some show. There's nothing wrong with that. Like we need to give them some show.
Yeah. There's some bravado see, behind like, the chairs.
Dude, good. The way I do scissor over comb, like honestly, people comment on it all the time. Like they're like, that's why I come to you, because like the way you do your scissor over comb work, like, you know, most hairstylists don't do that. They just don't.
Yeah, and you're the same. Bit. Yeah, I love
scissor over comb. You're the same. Me and you are both the same. Like we do old school, very, very good scissor over comb work.
Yeah, it's a dying art.
Yeah, it is. And man, I do most of my men's cuts that way, you know, I mean, but most of my men's cuts kind of fall into that category anyway. But the thing is that to me is the best way to shape the sides of a man's hair, period. It's the best
for sure.
But it's also got a showy factor to it, man. Yeah. It's actually really kind of hard to be very good at. It is. But when people watch that, they're like, damn, that looks cool.
I will say, I remember I was teaching a cutting class, a men's cutting class in Charleston, South Carolina, probably 5 years ago. I remember the thing that was cool about it to me is one of my clients had moved to Charleston to go to graduate school, and he was my model. I hadn't seen him in like a year, and he shows up to be my model. I sent him a message. But it was a scissor over comb cut. And I remember getting in there with a nice comb and some 7-inch scissors and just going to work like I always do, not thinking anything about it. And there was a girl standing right behind me, and she turned to the person next to her and went, "That's so satisfying. It's just like a video or something."
Yeah.
And it was kind of in that moment I was like, this is very satisfying. I love cutting hair like this.
Dude, scissor over comb, I mean, honest to God, like, to me, it is the way to cut men's hair.
It's a kick-ass technique.
And when I talk about that, like I'm talking about 90% of men's cuts. They have a tapered side to them, and they're a little bit longer on the top. That's it. That's men's cuts for you.
Well, and if you think about, like, I mean, whenever you're doing something, like I've been trying to explain to guys lately, because we can't trim beards anymore. So I have all these guys that have bought clippers, and they're like, I put the guard on, and I do it, and then I don't like the way the beard looks. And what I try to explain to them is that when you put a guard on clippers, you're following the shape of your face, and that's it.
Yeah.
And you have a buffer zone, a length. And don't get me wrong, I love to do fades. I love to do clipper work. But if you're just putting a guard on clippers and mowing hair, you don't get to choose the shape.
No.
You're just following the shape of the head. So scissor over comb is an opportunity to say, I want it tighter here and longer here. And you get to create an entire new shape.
It's the real sculpture.
Hair. Yeah.
It's the true sculpture.
Yeah.
It's like,
definitely.
It's you're choosing the shape. You're not letting the head dictate the shape.
Yeah.
As you pull it away from the head has all kinds of nooks and crannies and all that kind of stuff.
Lumps, bumps, ins, outs.
Not even that. It's so much more efficient and clean, and like, it's just so much better. I mean, it really is. And like, you know, I taught my first men's cutting class in like 2 years.
Oh, yeah, just a couple weeks ago, right?
Yeah, I literally did. And I talked to the girls about it. I said, because it was basically just a class full of girls. And I'm like, this is what you need to do. This will make you a much better hairstylist if you can do scissor over comb. Just take a mannequin and cut it over and over and over and over. And I mean, you know, me and you, we both flip our shears back and forth, you know, like.
Yeah.
And the way I did that was I sat and watched TV with my legs up on the ottoman, and I just kept flipping my shears back and forth.
Yeah.
The way I got good at scissor over comb. I just kept doing it over and over and over and over.
Well, I think the way that I trained for scissor over comb, and this came out of my apprenticeship, is the guy that I worked under used to make me put the fixed blade of my scissors against my chest.
Oh, wow.
And open and close my thumb while I watched him cut hair. And it gave me this muscle memory where I can move just my thumb. So you're not chomping, you know?
That's
really cool. I used to sit and watch TV at home, and I would put that fixed part of the scissors on my wrist and just do it. Because if you happen to open your scissors with both hands, the blades are going to open and cut you.
Oh, wow.
So it's just this muscle memory. So it was
hardcore, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Almost slit my wrist learning how to do this. Yeah,
seriously.
Don't worry. I'm like literally the least suicidal person you'll ever meet. But, like that was hard for me to learn though, that muscle memory. And you can't effectively do scissor over comb if you can't move just your thumb.
Yeah.
You know, like that's a crucial piece to master. And then like, I've actually done a little scissor over comb recently where I'm working in like a really tight area and maybe I have like my 4.5-inch scissors out and I'll do just a little bit of scissor over comb with them. And I'm like, This shit is hard.
It's hard. It's hard.
So you need like a big comb, big scissors, and you can just plow through it. It's beautiful.
I mean, we both use 7-inch shears and really big combs to do most of our work. I mean, I literally have this big crest comb. It's like big blue comb that I've had since it was the first comb I ever bought. And that's, I'll never get rid of that comb. I love it. But it's a monster comb. And I love it because you can push the ear down and protect the ear.
All in one shot.
And, and it's the same thing with those big YS Park clipper combs.
Yeah, the clipper over comb.
Yeah, those things are great.
Man. I love them.
Yeah, I mean,
they're just a little too fat sometimes. They're too, thick. Yeah,
totally. And it's hard to actually pull down the mask with them.
Yeah.
You know how we're all, like, yanking the mask down around the ear?
Yeah, the front tooth's too chunky on that
Totally. So... Yeah, so anyway, there's nothing gimmicky about doing scissor over comb, but there's so much gimmicky crap out there on Instagram. And, like, you know what I've seen lately, man, is, like, a bunch of people trying to do these, like, I don't know, like, these videos. And some of them are funny and some of them are not, but, like, there's a lot of freaking, like, look at me videos on Instagram about hair.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are bagging clients, too, and bagging client responses. And it kind of worries me a little bit because I'm like, man, this is kind of like making clients go, oh, shit, I can't ever say anything's ever wrong.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, like we were talking earlier, there's this element where, like, we have a little bit more control than we've ever had, but it doesn't mean that we need to be jerks about it.
You don't need to be calling people out on Instagram.
Yeah, you don't need to be arrogant and be like, you know, my new clients sit down and be like, you know, and then like there's a whole reel that'll go on where it's like, I don't have any color in my hair. And it's like, you're a liar, you know, or whatever. It's like, chill out, everybody.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, I feel like a lot of people focus heavily on Instagram and marketing of themselves and their concepts and ideas. And there's, to me, there's nothing wrong with that, you know, because if that's what you want to do, then do it. And people have found success. But to me, it's like, are you in this industry to win a popularity contest, get tons of likes and post content? Or are you here to do hair? Mm-hmm. And it's okay to be either one, I think. But some people are just like, it just feels so narcissistic too.
Yeah, it really
like,
does.
Like, look at me, you know, and then everything's Photoshopped. That's an old term I have to drop, but everything's filtered, you know, like, and it's like, I feel like so much of it's not real anymore. Speaking of real, like all the reels, it's funny how like Instagrams continue to evolve. Like I remember Jimmy Fallon doing his thank you notes when Instagram first put stories like on the top of the thing, and it was like, you know, like, thank you Instagram for teaching me how Snapchat works. And so Instagram just adds whatever other platform that's doing is popular. So reels are just TikToks. It's just like a TikTok option on Instagram. And it's like, as soon as that happens, I see hairstyles that are just literally post reels about how to make reels. And that's all they're doing, is like marketing themselves as somebody that's going to show you how to make a reel to show off your work, which is kind of cool. But I'm like, what are you doing here? Are you a hairstylist? Are you a social media wizard? You know, are you trying to market yourself to, like, can you make money doing that? And if you can, that's awesome. But sure. I thought you were a hairstylist.
Yeah, if you want to be a hairstylist. You know, the funny thing is like, if you're a good hairstylist, you actually don't even really need social media.
You don't need it
at
all.
If that's what you want to do. If all you want to do is do hair, you don't need it. Like, me and you don't post pictures of hair on Instagram. And we're both, we can't take new clients. We're so busy.
Yeah, you know? I can't handle anymore.
Yeah, and so that's the thing. Is like, those people that are telling you how to do this and that on Instagram, they're just telling you how to be Instagram people.
Yeah,
they're not telling you how to be a hairstylist.
Popular on Instagram. Yeah, here's how you get people to like you.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't care if people like me.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of a thing that, like, we're just kind of two likable dudes, you know? Yeah. We're doing okay, you know? Well, like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I want people to like the work that I do, and I want them to like me because they enjoy spending time with me behind the chair, because that's,
yeah, I mean, but I don't need a like consultant.
No, fuck that. I don't need any of that. Like, I don't care how many views, like, you know, if I post something on Instagram and it gets 100 likes, I'm like, whoa, that feels like a big deal. But yeah, I don't actually care. It doesn't make me feel special. Not like, oh, let's go for 250.
You know, I've always said that, like, posting on Instagram, like, for me, to be honest, and I'm not lying about this when I say this, it's my free online cloud where I store my pictures.
Yeah, no, that's a good
one. And I'm not kidding at all. Like, in Facebook, I got off Facebook 2 years ago. And I actually had to store it. You're allowed to store it as a file.
Okay.
And I stored it and I took all the pictures down and, like, put them into, like, files. But that's the thing for me. It's like, so I look at my tattoos in the same way. Like, my tattoos are like this, like, roadmap of my life. And, like, I love to look back at them sometimes and go, yeah, man, I was in Rochester, New York, and I went to this place and I talked to this dude and I got this thing.
Which is the way they should be. That's awesome.
Yeah. And it was fun. You know, it's kind of the same way that I look at, like, Instagram. Like, sometimes when was the last time you scrolled all the way to the bottom of your Instagram?
Actually, I did it kind of recently.
Yeah,
and
it's cool.
It is just, it's like a digital photo album that happens to be public.
It's great.
Yeah.
It is great if you look at it like that.
Yeah.
You know,
and that's,
I mean,
how I feel about it.
Yeah.
I mean, because I don't post very often at all.
No.
I mean, almost.
You post, like, way less than I do. Yeah, and I don't post much.
I post, like, never about hair and, like, quarterly something personal.
Yeah.
I posted a story last night because I thought it was funny. I walked into the Chevron room.
I saw that.
Yeah, at Rammstein. And I didn't have Oliver. My son wasn't with me last night. But the last time that I went into the room, the day before, he was there. And I walked in. He has this action figure of the British Bulldog, the wrestler from the 90s. And there was an Xbox controller on top of him. It looked like it was, like, squashing him. And I just thought it was funny.
Yeah.
I was like, that's cool. This is, like, to me, that's an Instagram moment. Like,
I 100% picked up on it.
Like, I'm taking a picture of this, and
I knew that had to have been the situation.
Yeah.
Like, you just walked into it.
No context, no words, just a picture. That's why Instagram's fun to me.
Dude, yeah. I'm with you. I mean, Instagram's great. You know, I mean, like, it is an awesome marketing tool. It really is. It's so funny how great of a marketing tool it is, man. Because I know some people that I'm like, I know them in real life, and, like, I see their Instagram page and I'm like, wow, man, it's amazing how good it can be at marketing.
Yeah, it's, like, amazing how good they make themselves look.
Because that's not how it is. But, like, it's great. So, you know, whatever. Moving on, man. Like, I'm pretty excited about this new trend that's coming out. It's called the Darth Vader bob.
Well, let's be clear that you named it that.
Yeah,
I and I love it, because that's what it should be called. Like, that to me will make an actual trend.
Darth Vader bob. So, you know, like, this to me is being what I kind of referred to as the mom bob for a while. You know, it's like the very heavy rounded out bob.
Like the 90s mom bob that would have, like, a really obnoxious, colorful sweater.
Like, you'd have a sweater on. Where, like, a woman would take a 2-inch barrel curling iron and curl the end just of it.
Bump just, the ends under.
Yeah, just so it would roll under perfectly. Yeah. And it almost has no volume on the top. All the volume is on the bottom.
Yeah, it's like a teardrop.
Yeah. It's back, guys.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't say that out of, like an egotistical, like, I created this. I'm literally talking about somebody that posted.
Right. The Bob that, like, well, all the 90s stuff's coming back, but yeah, it was funny. Cause we've always pregame and we talk mm-hmm. about stuff and make sure the levels are right on the mic and everything. And yeah, when you were explaining it, you were like, you know, that Bob that bumps under, and I pictured it right away. And you said almost like a Darth Vader helmet. I was like, hell yes, that's what it is. That's what we're calling it.
It is. And it's like a very triangular Bob where it's mm-hmm. like, I mean, it's a teepee. It's a teepee on your head. You know, it's a big, gigantic.
It'd pair well with a really strong fringe. Yeah, like totally. like a really wide bang.
Yeah. That disconnected bang.
Yeah. That goes all the way across.
Yeah. So, but to be quite honest, like, it's a legit back. It is coming back.
Which is crazy because it's not flattering on anybody.
It's really not. I mean, you know, flattering's weird because we were talking about this earlier too. Like, mom jeans are horribly not flattering.
Yeah.
Like, they are unflattering. I mean, it's crazy to me how much better everybody looks in skinny jeans and leggings and blah, blah, blah. And now mom jeans are back. And literally, like, 2% of the population looks good in them.
Yeah, it's very rare.
But people are wearing them like crazy. And it's a thing, you know. And it's kind of the same as the Vader Bob. But, like, you know, it's weird. Like, I will see a trend like that and be like, man, that's not attractive. And then it'll take me about 6 months and I'll be like starting to look at it going, wow, that looks pretty good. I'm into that.
Oh, she's pulling it off.
Yeah. She's pulling it off. That girl's hot, you know, whatever. And I'm like, man, are we going to get there with the Vader Bob? I don't know. I'm not sure.
I mean, I think potentially. I'm like looking back, and for some reason I thought of, which we refer in my house as holiday classic Jingle All the Way, starring Sinbad and Arnold Schwarzenegger. We watch Jingle All the Way every year.
You do? That's your thing?
It's hilarious. It's such a bad movie.
Yeah.
And it's turned into a full dead ass joke between Oliver and I. And I'm like, you think you're ready for the holiday classic? And he's like, holiday classic Jingle All the Way? And I'm like, that's the one. And yeah, so we'll watch it. I'm trying to think of who the mom is in that movie, but she has that Bob.
Does she?
If I'm not mistaken, it's either she has it or the neighbor has it.
Okay.
Phil Hartman's in that movie.
Oh my God. He's the best.
Yeah. And he's like a super douche in it. He's like the perfect neighbor, divorced dad that everybody like heartthrobs over.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like Meg Ryan even kind of made that look good back in the day. Like, there's a way.
It looks like it's Rita Wilson.
Okay.
You know who's married to Tom Hanks?
Oh, is that who that is? I suck with names.
Yeah.
But she's
married to Tom Hanks.
She kind of had that Bob in that movie.
Okay, let me look. Let me look it up. Hold on.
Fact check it.
I'm going to look this up right now.
Going down the rabbit hole.
This is one of those things. It's like, I would say that's more of a Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah,
Friends.
You're right.
Yeah.
Which is also 100% back.
That's on. I'm putting air quotes into this. On trend right now is that Jennifer Aniston haircut. Ladies, I'm down for that one though. Like, I will cut that one.
I did a cut sort of like that today.
Yeah.
Now I'm wondering if like the longer sideburns from the 90s, like the Ross from Friends, is going to come back. Not like the
Luke
cool
Perry.
Yeah. Some legit burns on dudes.
Yeah.
I think it would be a good look. Ash had,
you know, like
Rocks,
we're
though.
Pushing 30 years, bro.
Yeah.
From that.
Like, have you seen the meme that says when somebody says something happened 20 years ago, I think of 1973.
But, man, it's crazy, bro.
Yeah, like, 20 years ago was the 2000s. So, yeah this shit is not, 30 years old if you want to look at stuff from the 90s.
Man, it's funny. God, time.
Which is the right amount. I mean, warped. If I'm like right now, I'm wearing pretty loose cut jeans with some beat up Doc Martens and I have my jeans rolled up.
Yeah.
That's pretty fucking 90s. And a crew neck sweater.
The exact same thing I wore in 1995.
Yeah. Know? And I'm doing it, but I don't think that I'm stretching and trying to look like a 90s kid.
No.
Per se. No, but no, all that stuff loops back around.
So, I mean, do you remember in the 90s when like all the white kids were trying to rip like the skinny dreads?
Oh yeah.
I mean, we were trying to rip skinny dreads. Like, we weren't trying to do big old fat like deadhead dreads.
I mean, the hair just wouldn't support it.
Well, so I don't know. I've seen some pretty raw beaver tails, but
yeah, but that's just like the super duper hippie crowd. To me, like the white kid dreads were at a maximum like pinky sized.
Yeah.
Like at a maximum.
I don't know if you've ever seen this. In Japan, they had like a trend of dreads, and they would use like a drill that would like attach to the hair and it would spin it. Yeah. It was weird. I don't even know if it was a drill or not. It was something like that, but it would spin it up and knot it. It was crazy. But man,
you know what I want to see now though, then?
Yeah.
I want to see some hipsters from Brooklyn hook a fishing reel up to some people's hair and like reel it up, and they'll be called like, they'll make a reel on Instagram about their real dreads,
and then they'll have like, you know, the really hardcore crew that's like, no, we're fly dreads, we do fly fishing dreads,
you know? Yeah.
yeah we don't do that spinning
reel. You have dreads. To whip the hair and tease it,
you know. But like, you know, when I moved here from Atlanta 6 years ago to Asheville, which is like a very crunchy town, I did think to myself, I will get the opportunity to cut dreads or style dreads.
Right, work on them, become the dread doctor.
It's never once happened. And I know I've probably said this on the podcast before, but thing is like, people that wear dreads don't come to expensive salons. They just don't. It's not the thing, you know?
Well, I mean, I think the concept of having dreads is the opposite of being a high maintenance consumer.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not somebody that's going to do that. But I mean, my sister had dreads for years.
Yeah.
And
which
Eliza.
Oh,
yeah.
She did.
Yeah.
Oh,
and okay. I loved them, man. I thought they looked so good on her. Mm-hmm. And it was when I was going through hair school that they were starting to get like legit. She had maybe had them for like 3 or 4 years at that point. So they were like properly locked. And I remember it was a lot of fun for me to like work on those. And it was just such a different texture and such a new thing. Do you use like
beeswax or anything on them?
Yeah, a couple times we did work beeswax in. But I remember once they were locked up, the thing that I remember doing to make them look good is like hold on to the end of it and almost like back comb over it just with my hand.
Okay.
And then cut all the frizzy shit off.
Okay.
Cut all the frizzy shit off and then hit them with like a little bit of wax.
Gotcha.
And then as the roots grow in, she would just kind of weave them through in different directions so that she didn't have like a long baggy, saggy root.
I hate that, man, when people have like, because I do think that that's like kind of trendy when like people
4 inches of new growth.
Yeah, leave 4 to 6 inches of new growth out and then like leave the rest like, I don't know.
Either that or it's just a lack of education around it where they're like, well, the hair's just going to lock up underneath of it. And it's like, if your hair is coarse and porous and thick, yes, it will.
Yeah.
Like, there are hair types that are meant to dread, and they naturally will lock up like that.
Yeah.
But if you have silky, white person hair, you have to make sure that that hair is, like, bound upon itself.
Yeah.
And you have to wash your hair on a regular basis, too, to remove the oils. Otherwise, it'll never lock.
Yeah, totally.
But I feel like we just went, like, total hard turn there.
I know.
But, yes, I remember dreads, and I wouldn't be surprised if we see those come back.
Totally.
And I'm not ashamed to say I was a huge fan of Korn back in the day. I'm a proud Korn fan. Yeah. And man, Fieldy and Head, the guitar players for Korn, I fucking loved their dreads.
Yeah.
Both of them.
That's cool. Yeah, I, you know, I had really long hair in high school, and I tried a couple times, like, you know, like kind of nonchalantly tried to kind of get them to dread up, but like my hair was too silky. It just
it's a commitment.
I probably could have made it work. I'm sure I could have made it work, really. But like, it, you know, I was kind of like, whatever. I do like the look though. Like, I think it's cool. Like when somebody has like really nicely done dreads, man, it's cool.
Yeah,
it looks awesome. It really does. So I don't know. We'll see. Who knows? But
pairs well with Jenkos. Just saying.
It really does work with Jenkos. But, you know, I mean, like in the new trend, it would need to go with something that's thinner. You know what I mean? Just to give it a different look.
Yeah.
You
know? Well, and then that way it's new.
Yeah. Exactly.
The new generation the got new to do way. It. They're not just copying.
Yeah. We're not copying, y'all. We wear medium leg density leg jeans.
Yeah. Exactly. I saw another. I feel like a kind of like a tool because it's like everything that is so relatable when I want to tell something has been a meme. And I'm like, oh, I saw this meme. But
you know, that's come up a lot in my chair lately.
Yeah, but memes can say 1,000 words. And I saw there was this scene from, I don't know, if I had to guess, it looked like Lollapalooza from like the mid-90s. And just all these like kids and young adults in the crowd. And when you look at the picture, it's just like so 90s. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's like the way that everybody's trying to dress now. And it said, all of you Gen Z kids can dress like us all you want. You'll never know what it felt like to be in this crowd without a cell phone. Yeah, and I was totally. Like, holy shit. Like,
yeah.
We did grow up in a time where we had this freedom that nobody has anymore.
Such freedom, man.
And like, style choices, whether it was dreads or baggy pants because you went to a festival or you went somewhere and you saw somebody, you're like, that's cool. And I'm gonna try that. We weren't being force fed. This is what everybody's doing. So now you do it.
We saw it on MTV, man. Mm-hmm. And like, that was it for us. I mean, MTV was where we saw trends.
And if you decided to jump on one of those trends, you were in essence taking a risk.
Yeah.
Cause you didn't have this community of support online where you're like, oh, everyone's doing this. It's cool. Yeah. I'm going to do it too.
I feel like trends like in the 90s and early 2000s and even before 80s, 70s, they were more solid. Like they were very like black and white trends. Like the trend right now is bell bottoms, or the trend right now is tight rolling the pants. And it was like that for a legitimate amount of
time. Right, like something huge would hit. Yeah.
But now, because like information travels so fast and everybody's like locked into everybody, it's like every 5 minutes there's a new trend.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Totally.
And then like once you get on that trend, then you're into the next trend already.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of crazy.
There's, slippery slope.
Yeah, it is kind of crazy. So I don't know, man. I feel like it's funny. Every time we do an episode, it's like, let's talk about the trends. And it's like something different, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, man, like the one thing I wanted to talk about at the end of this episode is that like, when I went to that school yesterday, I talked about this and we talked about it before this episode, is that there's a new trend in the work week. And this new trend is that there's a 24-hour work week for hairstylists, and it's 4 days a week, 6 hours a day, double booking your clients, working your butt off, but working a lot less. And I think it's one of the healthiest trends there is.
I love it, dude. Like, I mean, I'm averaging right around 29 hours a week now. Mm-hmm. And it feels right. Like, I mean, I do get overwhelmed at times within those 29 hours because I book so aggressively. And you know, if I'm going to be there and I'm going to do work, I'm do it or don't. I'm there to work or I'm not working and I'm off, and I don't want to have anything to do with work. But for me, I think it was partially born out of, like when we came back from quarantine, we had to split up schedules, social distancing. We could only work so many hours. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden when things started to open up, I was like, I don't want to work any more hours, but I do want to maximize the time I'm here. And to me, like, 24 would be great. 29, I'm more than happy with, but I never want to go back to a 40-hour work week.
No, I think that's done, man. For hairstylists, I think that, like, we're all, like, we just have to learn to be efficient.
Yeah.
And we have to learn to work with the assistants, and we have to learn to work together. And we have to really double book, triple book our clients and work really hard in shorter amounts of time and then get out. And we're just so much happier that way.
Yeah. You know? Well, and then in that spare time we have, we can do things like take educational courses. We can take class. Yep. We can get better at what we do so that within those shortened hours, we can charge more.
Yep.
You know, 100%. And if we can do that, then our clients are going to get a better end result. Our families are getting a better experience with us. We're having a better human experience on this planet, not being worked to death and feeling like a corporate slave or something.
Totally.
I am 100% all about it.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it came up Summit, you know, the consulting company. They're the first ones that really started talking about this, as far as I know. Like, I don't know anybody else that was really talking about it, but like, I do think it's huge. I mean, I don't think that you have to be limited to 24, like, but I don't think hairstylists should work more than 32.
Well, I feel like
I mean, think that's the max.
Yeah. I mean, for so many years when I first got into this career, I knew hairstyles that were absolutely killing it. Mm-hmm. But they were working 4 or 5 10 to 12 hour days. Yeah. It's like they were working their asses off. And when we were behind the chair, we're giving so much mm-hmm. that if you work that many hours, there's nothing left for yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
You're just going to can't handle it.
No, man. And, you know, I mean, I think it's big for, you know, like you were just saying a little while ago, you're like the opposite of somebody that's like a suicidal human being. And I think that's, you know, it's kind of a weird thing to talk about. But at the same time, it's like, man, that's important. Like, because I'm the same way. Like, I love my life. I love doing hair. I love going to the salon a lot of days. I really legitimately do love walking into work. And I also value trying to help hairstylists be happy about what they're doing. You know what I mean? Like, that's a huge thing. Like, trying to help other people, like, find love and passion in what they do is so huge, man. Like, because this is a fun career. It is.
Yeah.
But, like, when we're pushed to do it 50 hours a week by, you know, some, you know, crazy boss that doesn't understand, like, happiness, that's not the way to be.
Yeah, when they're just looking at numbers. Because the thing about it is that, like, we are a unique tribe of individuals, hairstylists are.
Yeah.
And we're the 20% of us, at least, that make mm-hmm. it through, that decide to make it a career and stick with it, I think are pretty creative, hardworking people. And sometimes we can give too much. So, I mean, to be able to find that balance and say, I'm going to kick ass for 30 hours a week, and I'm going to take my time off and work on myself and be a healthy, happy person.
Totally.
When you go to work, you're going to do better work, and then you can inspire those around you to also become better people.
Yeah.
You know, I have a guy that comes to me that is one of the most stressed out dudes I've ever seen in my life. And he has to work at least 50 hours a week or more. And he's just always stressed out about work. Like, he'll come in for a haircut at 7 o'clock on a Wednesday, and he has to go back to the office. I'm like, what time did you go in this morning? And he's like, 8 o'clock. Yeah. And he's married with kids. Oh. And it's like, so what the,
like, well, you know, it's the number one thing that people say on their deathbeds, that I wish I would have worked less.
Yeah.
And spent more time with my family. That's what they all say. So, like, why don't we do that? Why don't we do that? You know what I mean?
Totally. Like, and that way, when you're at work, like, you know, like, I don't dread going to work. Mm-hmm. And there have been so many years that I did different types of jobs. And even within this career, I'm like, I just don't want to go and deal with people.
Sure.
But it was because I had already spent 40 hours this week already dealing with people. So I didn't, I couldn't handle anymore. So it's like, if I want to love going to work, and I want to inspire other people to love going to work.
Totally.
So, like, find that balance. So how can we maximize the time that we're here and still make these connections with people and do good work without losing ourselves in the process?
Exactly. I mean, we got to find that happiness there. And, you know, I mean, I think that's kind of like the big positive thing that's happening in the world right now. When we're talking about that, like, the balance of power kind of has shifted to, you know, like, the workers, and it's shifted to the stylist. Like, we do have that right now. We have the ability to control more of our own happiness, and that's awesome.
Yeah. No, really, it's awesome. Huge.
It's huge. Man, well, we've been rambling for a while. It's been a long episode, actually.
Has it really?
Longer than normal. No, I felt like we just started talking.
Yeah, that's how it is sometimes.
No, it's been good, man. I love sitting here and hanging out with you and just talking and shooting shit, man. So I appreciate it, bro.
It's always good.
All right, see you guys later.
Love you, bro. Later.
Love you too. Bye.